Tim McCormick is a partner at the law firm Phillips & Cohen, which represented the whistleblower, and he joins us now to talk more about the case. Tim, thanks very much for coming on with us.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
So fill in the details, if you would, that I left out in the intro. What was it that your client alleged SAIC did?
Well, it was billing fraud. This contract that SAIC had to train the first responders was a sole source contract, so they didn't have to bid and compete with others to get it. Instead, the way that they were paid was they made representations to the government about how much it costs to train the first responders, and they were paid for their costs and then a fair amount of profit above that. But what they did is they represented to the government that they were going to use full-time employees to train the first responders, full-time employees who got full benefits. But then when the training actually happened, they used part-time employees who got few benefits, who they paid a lot less to, and they pocketed the difference.
And the way I understand this worked is New Mexico Tech, the university out there, actually got federal grants to run this weapons of mass destruction training program, and then SAIC operated as a contractor. Why was this a federal False Claims Act issue rather than an alleged fraud or something else against the university?
Because it was federal money that SAIC was defrauding. That it was federal money going through New Mexico Tech.
Gotcha. And in this case, the Justice Department actually joined the case on your side. How important is that generally in False Claims Act cases, and how common is it?
It is pretty important. You know, when the government joins the case, that sends a strong signal to the defendant. So there are plenty of cases that the government doesn't join, and that doesn't mean that there wasn't fraud, and there are plenty of cases that the government doesn't join that are successful. But I think in this case, it is really telling that the complaint was filed in February of 2012, and the settlement was announced yesterday. Just 1 year and a couple of months is incredibly fast for these kinds of cases. And so I think that reflects a combination of things, but one of which is that the government took this very seriously, and there was a really great government team on it, and they were really aggressive.
And, I mean, when the federal government knows that there's already a case underway with a private party pursuing the same issue, what's the reasoning on their side for them to devote their own resources to a case?
It's because the government working with a private party, that kind of teamwork can move a case faster and is really effective. That you know, we as attorneys who specialize this and our clients who bring the inside information, there are things that we can bring, and we can do these cases on our own. But when you have the expertise and the resources of the government, and with that subpoena power and things like that, that team approach is a lot more effective, frankly, than either side going it alone.
Right. I don't know if you can answer this, but did your client approach the government first, or an IG, or something else before deciding to pursue this under the False Claims Act through your firm?
No, he went first through the False Claims Act.
So, I mean, that's one of many cases, I'm sure, where the award that the plaintiff can actually get in a successful case served as an incentive here.
Right. The award serves as an incentive, although, frankly, I think a bigger thing that the False Claims Act provides is an avenue. A lot of times, people who know that their company, either that they're currently working for or previously worked for, is engaging in fraud, they don't know how to bring it to the government's attention. You know, a number of times when a client or a whistleblower, they may call a hotline or something like that, but they never know what comes of it. The False Claims Act, because it allows the whistleblower to actually file a case and participate in the investigation, oftentimes gives a whistleblower an opportunity to make sure that they're being heard.
Mm. And make sure their information is actually followed through on, because they're the ones in control.
Exactly.
Very good. Tim McCormick, a partner at the law firm Phillips & Cohen, thanks very much for coming on and talking about this case with us.
Absolutely.